Today on Coding 101, it is all about Perl with our new code warrior. Up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Coding 101 is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Coding 101 is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy and fast to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code CODING.
Welcome to Coding 101. It's the Twitch show where we let you into the world of the code monkey. I'm Father Robert Ballasier.
And I am Shannon Morrison. For the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to get you all coded up on everything you need to know to be a Perl code warrior.
That's right. And by the way, that Perl. So we're not in Python anymore. We're done with the Python.
I am so excited about this. I can't wait to get learned it up on all this.
Learned it up. Now, the cool thing about Perl, Shannon, is that we covered C# in the first module, right?
We did, yes.
And that was very structured, and, you know, it was compiled language, so yeah. You had to turn it into a binary before you could actually do anything with it. Then we did Python, which was an interpreted language, right? It was dynamically compiled so that we didn't really have to worry about running it and making an executable. We're now doing Perl, which is also a scripted language. It's like Python, but it's also more structured like C#. So we're kind of doing that best of both worlds. It's a very useful language, but it's going to borrow elements from both C# and Python.
So it's kind of in the middle.
It's in the middle, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like the little baby bear, you know. Not too hard, not too Python-y.
Not too soft.
But just right, just right. Now, before we do this, of course, the first episode of any module has to be, how do they get started with Python?
Exactly.
Now, the cool thing about this is, unlike C#, they're not going to have to download that huge program from Microsoft to get the Visual Studio IDE.
Can I actually use Perl inside of Notepad? Can I write code?
It's just like Python in that. Anything that you have that can edit text, you can write Python Perl programs in.
So all I need is the distribution so that my computer can actually run these programs, right?
Exactly. And I understand that you are going to tell us how we do that, regardless of whether or not we're using Linux, Mac, or Windows.
I sure am. So if we take a look at my computer over here, I have a website up that is called perl.org. And if you go to perl.org/get.html, this is where you can actually download the distribution. You'll notice here that it says Perl is already included in Linux and Mac OS X.
Womp, 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 womp.
No.
I know. Okay. Yes, I get it. If you run Linux or OS X, Perl's already built in. You don't have to do anything.
That's kind of awesome.
It's kind of,
but it might be an older distribution, so you might still want to go here and update to the newest version. Also, you'll notice with Windows, there's this one called Strawberry Perl, and there's Active State Perl. So Strawberry Perl is basically an open source build of Perl. And then there's Active State, which is the one that we're going to use for the show today. So Active Perl downloads, you just click on that, and then you choose whether you're x86 or x64. I'm 64, so I just download this MSI, and then I run it, and I'm good to go. That's all you have to do.
Now, I will say this. I know some people who have really messed themselves up downloading the wrong version. If you're running a 64-bit operating system, download 64-bit.
Yes.
Otherwise, don't. It's not. In the worst-case scenario, it will install because it's going to pass the check, but then you're going to get funkiness. Perl won't do anything. So do a quick check. If you're using Windows, right-click on My Computer, go to Properties, and it will tell you right there if it's a 32 or a 64-bit operating system. That tells you which one to download.
And if you're confused about where to find My Computer in Windows 8, like I did, you
then
have to go to the search bar and just Google, search computer.
Go to or go to our Google Plus page. Go to gplus.to/twitcoding, and you'll ask someone there. We promise we won't make that much fun of you.
That's true. So speaking of our G Plus website, our Google Plus account, if you go over there, you can even show us your code whenever you get really into Perl. Generally, on the first episode, we don't have any viewer submissions that we can share with you. But going forward, during our Perl module, we'll be able to show you different examples that our fans have showed us.
Exactly. And that's part of what we really enjoy. I mean, every show, every time we do one of these programming modules, Snubs starts the show by going into the G Plus group, by pulling out examples from people who are at all different levels of programming expertise, beginner, intermediate, and expert, and we show it off on Coding 101. It's part of the way to show you what's possible, even if we haven't quite gotten there in the lessons.
So, you want to get started?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of a it's a Friday.
I'm pretty excited.
Recording.
Oh, come on.
Okay, let's do it.
Look at
it. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about Perl. Okay. So Perl, if you did the first two modules, if you did C# and you did Python, again, it's going to be somewhere in between.
Yes.
It's an interpreted language. It's a scripted language, which means I don't have to turn it into an executable, right?
Yeah, that's
which,
awesome.
Which I like, because like Python, it just means I could write it in Notepad. I can write it in V. I can write it in Emacs. You pick your text editor of choice, and that's what you're going to be writing in. And all you have to do is you run or, you know, script the program in real time, and it'll tell you whether or not it works.
That's so cool. Yeah. So all I have to do is open up Notepad, write my code, and then save it as a .pl?
.pl, right. The extension tells the computer that this is a Perl file, and it should be using that
distribution
to go ahead and process what's in it.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool.
The other thing to remember about Perl, and our code warrior is going to touch on this, is Perl is one of these languages that is absolutely suited for web work. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's very good with manipulating data. It's very good with dealing with information that's both going and coming from the computer on the internet. So keep that in the back of your mind. As we are doing these lessons, ultimately, our code warrior is going to teach you how to use this to say, oh, I don't know, generate forms on a web page or properly process information that's coming off a web page.
So is that the reason why Perl was made?
No, Perl was made because there was a bunch of geeks who said, I don't like any programming languages. I don't want Perl.
They just made their own.
That's how all programming languages are made. Yeah, let's not get back. I'm going to start a holy war, and I don't want to do that. Now, the first thing that we want to do when we talk about Perl is we want to talk about the control structure. Now, remember C#. C# was unique because we could write the entire program on a line as long as we separated it with semicolons, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? Python was different. Python took white space into consideration.
Yes.
So if I put
that's
it onto...
That's why we had to put the tabs, and that's
exactly
why we entered between each line.
Right, which was important because it if you didn't format it right, even if the proper words were there, the proper commands were there, if you didn't put it indented, or if you didn't put it on a new line, Python wouldn't know how to deal with it, and you'd get an error.
I remember that.
Okay. So Perl, in this instance, is more like C# than it is like Python. You need to end every line or every applicable line with a semicolon so it knows that this is a code block and I execute this before I move on to the next.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and take a look at what a code block inside of Perl looks like. Go ahead and switch to my computer. Don't worry if you don't understand everything that's on the screen. We're going to explain it eventually. Oh, right now, what you see me do is I'm declaring two variables.
Numbers
and, of course,
and string.
Numbers and string, right? I'm filling the numbers variable with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm filling the string variable with this is a string. I end each one with a semicolon.
And I also notice with the string one, you have that in quotes, and you start each one with a dollar sign.
Yeah. We're going to go over that. But this is what general structure would look like. Now, if I wanted to, I could delete the lines. In fact, you're going to see this a lot when you deal with Perl programmers, especially obnoxious Perl programmers. They tend to like to write everything in a line.
Oh, God, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah. And I
like the organization.
I like the organization. So you don't need that. You could write this on a line, but please just follow best practice and keep it nice and easy to understand.
Okay.
All right. Now that you've seen the structure, you've seen the basic structure of what it looks like, and hopefully you've made the comparisons to C#, let me actually show you what I've done in here. If you come back to me, what we're going to be doing is we need to first show you how you work with variables in Perl.
Yay, variables!
Okay. Now,
Please tell me it's easy.
It's so easy.
Yes.
It's so easy. Do you remember back to C# when we had to do... we had to declare variables of a certain type, right?
So yeah, you had to say if it was a string or an integer or whatever.
Right. All those good things, right? You had to specifically say at the beginning, you know, before you started doing any expressions, these are my variables and these are the variable types,
yeah,
right? That's part of C#. Then we got to Python, and Python was, I didn't have to tell you what kind of variable it was. And It just knew, right? It does through context.
Care.
And also, I didn't have to declare all my variables at the beginning. I could do it in the expression. As I need the variables, I put it in there, and Python just allocates memory.
Which I really liked.
Which is nice, because Perl, even though the structure is more like C#, the variables and the declaring of variables is like Python.
Ooh, I like this.
Right, so I don't have to declare a type. I don't have to declare all the variables at the beginning, I can just use them as I write the expressions, and they will be allocated within Python.
Oh, I'm excited now.
Yeah, nice. That's nice. Now, when we talk about variables in Perl, there are a couple of different types. Most notably, there are scalars, there's arrays, there's associative arrays, and there's hashes. We're only going to talk about the first two.
Okay.
Okay, good. Let's not get confused. We're talking about scalars and arrays.
Okay, what is a scalar?
Okay, a scalar, quite simply, is, it's like any other variable that you've written in Python to hold a string or a number or a character.
That's
really all it is. These are either numbers or strings. They don't require you to mark the variable as either a number or a string. It all looks the same to Perl, and it actually will infer from context what kind of variable it is. So, for example, if I put something in quotations and I write a sentence, Perl will figure out that that's a string. If I write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Perl will figure out that that's an integer.
Wow, that's easy.
If I write 3.14, Perl will figure out that that's a real number. It's a float.
Right, okay.
Now, Perl also doesn't require you to differentiate between integers or real numbers, which is nice. We'll get to that later on. But when I use scalars, all I have to do is I have the name of my variable. So let's say variable 1, var 1.
Okay.
And right before the variable, I put a dollar sign.
Now, why do you put a dollar sign?
Because that indicates to Perl this is a variable.
Oh, okay.
So whatever comes...
That's its indication.
That's its indication.
That's
whatever's connected to this dollar sign is going to be my variable. That's my variable name. That's both how I declare it and how I call it. So if I call something dollar sign var1, anytime I want to use var1, I have to precede it with the dollar sign.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so just remember that. Consider it actually part of the name. It's not var1, it's dollar sign var1.
Okay, yeah.
All right, okay. Now, if you go ahead and let's go ahead and go back to my computer. Here, you see I have, again, I've created these variables.
That's why you have the dollar sign.
Numbers, right. This is dollar sign numbers. This is dollar sign string. That's actually the name. Dollar sign numbers I fill with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Dollar sign string I fill with this is a string. Now, you remember how we printed in C# the C out, and there was a function call, and it was kind
print
of...
line.
Yeah, exactly. Remember, Python was a whole lot easier, right?
Yes.
Again, this is where Perl is more like Python. This is what printing looks like. Print. You just print, and then you could either put the name of a variable, you could put numbers, or you could put something in quotations, which is a string. And what I've done here, and this is a unique piece. This is different than Python, so you got to remember this. I've done print in quotations. This is me printing a string. Then semicolon, then colon, and then inside the string, within the quotations, I've actually put the name of the variable.
So even though you're putting that inside of quotes, it knows because you have that dollar sign.
Because
that
I have
the
dollar
sign.
You're
not telling it to print dollar sign string. You're actually telling it to
print the variable
this
string.
This is a string.
Right, and then I do it again for this one. Print. This is me printing a variable with numbers, and I put dollar sign numbers, and it knows to go ahead and print the value of the variable numbers, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now this,
awesome.
STDIN, this is just the standard input. Just like in Python.
So that's like enter?
That's like enter. It's waiting for input from the user and then the carriage return, the enter key.
Got it.
The reason why I'm going to put this at the end of my program is because I don't want the window to close, right?
Okay.
Because otherwise it would just flash. Right. So this is going to wait for me to go ahead and hit enter before it closes. Now if I run the program, because I've got Perl installed on this, it'll just do this. This is me printing a string. This is me printing a variable. And each time it's going to go ahead and print what was inside that variable.
Okay.
And now it's waiting for me to hit enter. That's it.
Pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious.
Very,
very, very simple. And when I hit enter, it's going to close the window.
Cool.
Okay. All right. So in that sense, printing and playing with variables in Perl is pretty darn easy. There's not a whole lot there. It is basic. Hopefully, if you've watched any of the other modules, especially the Python module, this should be a little old hat, right?
Yeah, definitely. But, of course, if you haven't watched either of the earlier modules, definitely go back and watch them because they're super, super useful. And especially the first module, we defined a lot of the definitions that we're using now, the terms that we're using, like variables, integers, everything like that.
Right, right. Now, I want to show one more thing. If you go ahead and go back to my computer, remember how I told you you didn't have to declare what type of variable you were printing, right? So this is a really good example of that. It knows I'm creating a scalar variable because I put a dollar sign.
Okay.
And I've called it var1, var2, var3. I'm filling it with an integer, 28. I'm filling it with a string, coding 101. And I'm filling it with a floating point, 3.14.
Okay.
Nowhere have I declared that that is an integer, that the second one is a string and that the third one is a floating point.
Yeah, you just put them in.
Which is nice. This is really how, you know, I kind of like programming to be done, which is it can figure out what I want, right? And then I'm just going to go print them out, print var 1, print var 2, print var 3. This little thing right here, the slash n,
that just tells it to enter to a new line at the end of that line of programming, right?
Yeah, if you go to a Perl startup document, you're going to see that it gives you a bunch of control characters. You could add a new line. You could actually append to the line. Okay. Slash n just says drop down to the next line. So if I run this, it will look just like this. It's going to declare 28, coding 101, 3.14, and then it's going to print those three, and I get this.
Ah, perfect.
Coding 101, 3.14.
Easy.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Nothing to it, right?
Okay.
Okay, now.
I'm ready to move on.
Let's move on. We got to move to slightly more complicated, but not really, arrays.
Arrays, all okay. right.
Arrays are sort of like in Python what we did with lists.
Oh.
So what I have is I have the name of an array, and it has an index. And that index tells me what element within that array I'm dealing with. But here's something unique about Python. When we're talking about an array in Python, we're talking about a one-dimensional array. It's just a list of elements that belong to that array.
Just a list, that's it.
Just a list. We can go to more complicated data types later on, but right now we're just dealing with that one-dimensional array.
Okay.
Now, this is what it looks like when I use an array. If you go back to my computer, notice how this character is different. What did I use for declaring a scalar variable?
Why is there an at sign?
Yeah, it's different, right. So in Perl, if I use a dollar sign, it means I'm declaring a scalar variable.
Okay.
If I use an at sign, it means I am declaring an array.
Oh, okay.
And just like in Python, what I've done here is I'm declaring this array called, the array is called C101, and then I'm filling it with three values.
Okay.
Padre, Snubs, and Brian. So three different values, three different strings go into that array called C101.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Now, I'm going to
Each one is a separate string. Each
one is a separate string, but they are all part of that array. The way I can prove that to you is this. I have right below it, I'm going to say, it's going to show on the screen, here are the values in the array C101.
Okay.
And look at the print.
It's a dollar sign.
It's the dollar sign, right. The way that, because you can think of an array as an array of scalar variables.
Oh.
So even though it's an array, each element itself
is a scalar variable. Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So you see how this kind of works. So what I'm going to do is I'm saying, if I have an array called C101 with three elements, Padre, Snubs, and Brian, what it really means is I have three scalar variables, each one called C101 with the dollar sign,
mm-hmm.
and then in the brackets, either 0, 1, or 2, because remember, we start at 0,
that's
right?
That's the placements.
Those are my three scalar variables inside that array.
Right.
Okay, so when I hit this, what it should do is it should say, here are the values in the array, and it should say Padre, Snubs, and Brian. So let's go ahead and run it, and you see it like that. Boom. Padre,
okay.
Snubs, and Brian.
It works.
Okay, it works. And this proves to you that, yes, that array is really just three scalar variables.
Right.
Or as many variables as you put into it. If I had put 20 values into here, there would have been 20 scalar variables.
Cool.
All right. So let's look back at the code because it actually continues. What we have here now is, this is kind of cool.
Whoa, what's going on here?
At coding. So I've created a new array called at coding. Is equal to at C101.
So the first array, the C101, is equal to that coding array.
Right, exactly. It means that the coding array is going to create an exact copy of the C101 array.
Why would you do that?
Well, because sometimes I want multiple copies of the same array. Like, for example, remember when we were doing the sort in Python?
Yeah.
What we wanted was we wanted the original array, and then we wanted the sorted array, because the sorted array was going to change. Well, this is a very nice way to do it. I can create an array that is just an exact duplicate of another array, and then I've got a copy, so when I do something to it...
It's a copy. It's not deleting the original array. Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Right. Okay, so let's go back, going back to my code. Now, what I'm going to do after this, I'm going to say, okay, the values of the array coding 101 have been copied into the array coding, and then I'm going to print the values of the array, which will just be coding 0, coding 1, and coding 2. So let's go ahead and run that.
So that would just print the same thing over.
Exactly, right? So go ahead and zoom in on that, Brian. because I know you're like Superman like that. So when I hit enter, it's going to print me the values of the coding array, but it'll be exactly the same since I just duplicated it. And boom.
Ah, cool.
Snubs,
okay.
And Brian.
Easy.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Now let's go to the last step. There is one last step here that we should understand before we say goodbye to arrays, and that is we need to change an element in the array.
Ah, you're confusing me.
Yes, but not in that way. Here we go. Okay, so now we already know that an array is just a list of scalar variables, right?
Right.
And we know how to print individual scalar variables, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
We also know how to assign values to individual scalar variables. Go back to my screen, and you'll see it right here. See what I've done. Is this scalar variable called C101? So the array C01, the scalar variable in index number 3, which is actually number 2, is going to change to Cranky Hippo.
Oh, so you're just changing the second. What was it called again?
Cranky Hippo. The element. It's actually the third element because we start at 0, so we go 0, 1, 2. Right, right. So when I print this, now it's going to show me. This.
Ooh.
Go ahead and scroll on that. I am changing the value of the third element in C101 from Brian to Cranky Hippo. It's going to go Padre, Snubs, Cranky Hippo, and then it's going to print the original array that I made a copy of.
Scalar. That's the word I was
Padre, saying. Snubs, and Brian.
Oh, that's okay. Easy.
It's kind of, again, okay. I went over it really, really quickly, but just remember.
But I get it.
Yeah. The nice thing about this is that Perl is very, very good about making your data types easy.
Yeah.
The array is just an array of scalar variables. So how do you refer to an array? You refer to it with the at sign. How do you refer to scalar variables? You refer to them with
the dollar sign.
If you are referring to the elements inside of an array, which are just scalar variables, you refer to them with the dollar sign.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Confused for now, but our code warrior is going to clear it up. Now, Shannon, before we go to the code warrior, I'm thinking that maybe I feel like I want to hear a little something about a company that's going to help me to present my ideas. Like for example, the lesson that I just did.
Yeah, I know a site that can help you with that. It's called Squarespace.com. If you've never been there before, they are the all-in-one platform that makes it super, super easy to create your own professional and beautiful-looking website. And it's easy to use. That's the best part. So some of the reasons why you're going to love Squarespace, because I know you will, they're constantly improving their platform. They have all these new features, they have new designs, and really, really good support. So let's talk about those beautiful designs, okay? They have over 25 beautiful templates. Tons and tons of different examples are on their website, so you can check them out before you buy. And you can build them quickly, so you can build your own professional or your business site as well. And they have the best mobile experience, too. So if you get on your phone and you go to your website, it's going to look good. It's not going to look all jumbled
Jank.
And strange as if it's just supposed to be on a laptop. It'll look good for your phone, for your tablet, for a computer, any kind of device that you want it to. And it's easy to use. If you do need some help, Squarespace has a live chat, and they have email support 24/7. Hours a day, 7 days a week. There was actually one time where I had to use their chat system and somebody was on it immediately. I was just like, hey, answer this question. They were like, all right, I got you. And they just fixed it for me. Super easy. Plus, there's a completely redesigned customer help site for easier access to self-help articles and video workshops, just in case you actually don't want to talk to anybody. Hosting is included. Squarespace takes care of the hosting with a distributed network that does not go down. And they're inexpensive. They're not going to charge you an arm and a leg or like your firstborn to actually use their site. It starts at just $8 a month. And it includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year, which is what I do. Now, even their code is beautiful. Squarespace takes the time and they take just as much pride in their back-end code as they do in their front-end design. They even have a developer platform. So if you really want to dig into the site customization and the developer accounts that never expire while in development, they take as much time as you need before launching your site. So, you know, if you feel like you got to fix this one thing to make it gorgeous, take your time. It's all good. And pay nothing until you actually go live with your site to the public. So some of the developer platforms, they feature complete control. So you can edit all the code that affects the display of your website, every line of HTML, CSS, JavaScript, all under your control. They also have Git and SFTP repositories. So they have version control that comes standard. You can connect to template files via Git and SFTP. And they have developer tools like less pre-processing. They have JSON templated, script comboing, Retina-ready responsive image handling. Hello, Retina-ready. And tons more. So start a free 2-week free trial. No credit card is required, and you can start building your own website. So when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code CODING, that's CODING, and get 10% off. And show your support of Coding 101. And of course, we thank Squarespace for supporting our show over here, Coding 101. Remember, a better web awaits, and it starts with Squarespace.
Thank you, Squarespace.
We love you.
We love you, Glomp. Now, this is the time of the show where we're supposed to introduce a coding warrior. Unfortunately, we couldn't find one.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
we
couldn't find one in the internet, but what we did was we found one here at home.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to you the brand new coding warrior, the latest coding warrior in a line of code heroes, Mr. Patrick Delahanty. Patrick, thank you very much for being our code warrior.
Oh, my pleasure. Been looking forward to this.
Now we asked you, obviously you were an easy choice for us because we work with you every day that we're in here, but also because you program Perl for a living. You're not just an instructor.
Oh, is that what he does here?
That's what he does.
Oh.
Yeah. I know, that little office over there? That's all he does all day.
That's why he's in there all day.
I've been doing Perl since 1995, 1996. Wow. Yeah, I've even got a Perl book by Randall Schwartz that's copyright 1996, so...
Yes,
and it has a menu in it from 2002.
Which, by the way, folks, I know there were a lot of you who were saying we should get Randall Schwartz for Perl. We will have Randall Schwartz for Perl when we start getting to, like, 102.
Ooh.
We didn't want to use him for the basic stuff because that's, you know, he's Randall Schwartz.
Yeah, so I bow to his
knowledge.
He's like
code emperor. He's not a
I'm
code
not worthy.
Warrior. Yeah. But, okay, Patrick, so you've been telling me for the longest time, oh, you got to get into Perl. You got to get into Perl. It's easy. If you're doing Python, you'll love Perl. If you're doing C#, you'll get Perl. Why did you get into Perl in the first place?
Well, I started learning Perl when I worked for Internet.com, and we were doing websites that needed dynamic backends and dynamic pages. And so we used Perl to create the CGI scripts, which would present all the data to the users. And it was so easy to pick up. And it's just like a natural language. You think about, oh, I want it to do this, and that's how you would structure the statements.
Yeah. Now, I will say, and I thank you for doing this, I understand that you really kind of, you pulled back the original slate that you gave to me that you wanted to cover with the Coding 101 audience was maybe a little ambitious.
It was over my head.
It was one of these things where I'm like, that's not 101, Patrick. So thank you for, I'll say it, for kind of dumbing down your lessons a little bit. You wanted to introduce us to a few things that you think our Coding 101 warriors, or Code Monkeys, not warriors yet, should bring home and play with. You want to introduce us now?
Yeah. Well, we're going to start off with just more about the strings and other variables. And so I've got Perl on my Mac here. I didn't have to install anything.
Okay, just, yes, I know. Okay.
I know. I just go in and
whatever,
I can use Notepad or text edit, anything, any sort of BB edit, any text editor. But what I'm going to do here is just bring it up in the terminal. And so I'm in a terminal.
What? Easy.
And this is, if you know Unix commands like ls and everything, that's all in there. But so I've got my files here, and I'm going to use Emacs as my editor just so I can have it all in one screen. And episode one, there we go. So with this program, you can see I've also demonstrated some comments, which all you have to do is put the number symbol, the hash, pound, at the beginning of the line. Now, at the start of my file, which I didn't see in yours, mm-hmm. I tell Perl, or the Perl interpreter, where it is.
Right. So this when we start moving into actually moving our assignments into the web, we will always have to have that line because that line is what's going to allow whatever's reading it to understand where this particular piece of code should go.
Okay.
We didn't have to do it on ours on Windows because we were running it straight in a Perl environment. But eventually, we will want to include that in there.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I've done Perl coding on Windows servers, I've had to put in the C colon and all that.
But, right.
So what I've done here is I've made an array that has 7 of our shows, the first 7 listed alphabetically. And then I've got, and you can see the spacing doesn't matter. I've put it all nicely formatted.
Right. But you could have that all in one line if you wanted to be a jerk about it.
Yeah, I've got commas between them all here. And then close it. Then I've defined our network name. So network equals twit. Then I've picked a number. So selected is 3. So I've selected the number 3. And my print statement is simply subscribe to, and then the content of that array with this number.
Right.
So I didn't put the actual number in the print statement.
Right. So yeah, just like when we did the statically defined element number, what you've done is you're saying the array called shows, but we're adjusting a single element. So of course we're looking at it as a scalar variable. Use the scalar variable called selected to tell me which element I want to look at.
Yes.
Oh.
And so I can easily change that variable. Maybe there's some outside thing that would select a different value, and it would print out a different show name. And then a fine, insert network name, show. And so you can probably predict what this is going to print out when I run it. So let me exit out.
I know.
Earl, episode 1.
And while you're typing that, we got some great questions in the chat room. Dr. Morbius wants to know what the dollar sign mean. It just means variable. It's scalar variable. Yep. Any scalar variable uses the dollar sign. And someone asked about, wait, you can put the variable names inside of quotations? Yes, you can. That's one of the cool things about Perl. You don't have to end the string, put the variable, and restart the string. You just drop it in there. As long as you've got that scalar variable indicator at the front, the dollar sign, it knows to print it.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to do things in Perl. And I'll show off a couple different ways to print in a little bit. But here I've executed it. It says subscribe to Cody One, a fine twit show.
Aww.
So
that's
now
cool.
Let's go back in. And what I'm going to do here, something to keep in mind is that Perl is case sensitive.
Oh.
So if I put network equals frog pants and then network equals adequate.com, which one do you think it's going to print out?
It'll still print out the first one, twit, right?
Yes, because it is case sensitive. Mm-hmm. So they're treated.
You've actually got 3 different variables there.
It still says a fine twit show.
So it's just ignoring the 2 other variables?
Yeah, they're treated as completely separate. And so that's tricky if you're coding things.
Yeah.
There have been so many evenings where I'm trying to figure out why isn't this working, and I realize, oh, well, this one's got a capital letter and this one doesn't. And so that's a little quirk of Perl, but
I mean, it's to be expected. I mean, at this level, if you're coding, you need to pay attention to capitalization.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now let me go into another example here. In this one, I've still got these. I've got 2 different ways to print. So similar to what you mentioned earlier, is the original way, which is on this first print line. But in the second one, I've actually ended the quote. I've put in a period, put in the variable name, another period, and then continued it. Now, I've left this variable still in the old format.
Oh, that's weird.
But this is helpful if you have, let's say there was a variable and you wanted the word to begin right after it, so show like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, how else would you say, hey, separate these two?
So that way Perl knows that that's not the entire name of the variable.
Right.
It should be separated.
So if I wanted it to end right there, I could put in the like that and take the space out, and then it would print the variable with no space in that. But if they were together like this, it would think that's a different variable.
Yeah, it would actually think you're talking about a variable called network show, which it doesn't have a value.
Yeah,
for
it would come up empty.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now let's execute this. Episode 1C. And it prints the exact same thing with 2 different print statements.
Cool. I like it.
Now, I actually have a crazier example here. Because you might wonder, well, what if I want to print something that has quotes in it?
This always gets people when they start putting punctuation, especially like, what if they wanted to print a dollar sign and they don't want it to think that you're calling a scalar variable?
Yeah. So here I've put quotes around this, but I can't just put a regular quote because if I do that, it's going to be like, oh, you're ending the thing, but then it crashes into this. So I escape it by putting the backslash before the double quote. And so it will put the quotes there. And now down in this line, I've done the same thing, but it's still separated.
Right.
Here's another way to do it, but this we'll see the output. It's a little different for this line here, where they have the single quote. And I didn't have to escape this because there's no double quote at the beginning.
Oh, MaxWave wants us to explain escape. MaxWave, when you escape, essentially you're telling the compiler, you're telling the interpreter that's going to be looking through this code that this next part, don't execute this. This is actually just this is a regular part of the string. I'm not telling you to do a command. If you didn't do that, Perl would think that you're ending the string, and then it would look what else is it should execute. The escape escapes out of the end of string.
So you're telling Perl, no, really, this is
I want you just to put this. Don't mess with me. Yes.
Okay.
So in this fourth print line, I've got still the single quote, but I've separated it out just like the second one. So this is I ended the quote here and inserted this variable. So it's 4 and 2 are very similar, but 4 has the single quotes. And then this fifth example here gets a little crazy because I'm telling it print until it sees EOF
for
end of file.
Oh.
End of file.
And it will print until it sees that. So I could actually go and put in returns and, hey, this is even more. And as long as this EOF starts on a new line.
Oh.
Now, Patrick, I will say what's interesting about this is a very simple example. This was designed to help our users figure out some of the concepts we just gave them. But the fact that you're using EOF tells me that you're pulling from your experience of pulling external data files.
This
technique, this file could be used to pull from a file that's not on the computer, that's not even on your network.
Yes.
Parse it. Get the information out of it, and then do something with it.
Absolutely, but yep. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But in case people were wondering what the EOF was for, that's what you would use it for.
Yes.
Cool.
Yep. And so let me exit out here, and we'll actually run this and see the difference here. No, that's that one. Yeah. So it's...
Whoa.
Yeah, you can see... I don't know if you can see my mouse. Here we go. This is the first line and the second line. It did the same thing as before. Kind of hard to see my highlighting. Now, the third one presents this, and this had the single quotes around everything. And it did not interpret this variable or the network variable. It just printed it.
Yeah.
It didn't care
that
their variable. Yeah, it just went and printed it, so it ignored that. Even the new line. That's why it's all run together here.
Got it. Okay. It's
like, I don't care about all this stuff. I'm just going to put the text there.
So quotes make a huge difference in Perl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now this one, this is the fourth one. And because I separated out this variable, you remember I ended the single quote and then had the variable name and then started it back up. It actually interpreted that.
Oh.
So even though this part is in single quotes, this part was not. So it prints the value. Now here's the start of the final example, the EOF example. And you can see it does the new lines, it does everything. It doesn't care. It's going to put in all the values. And so this is very helpful, especially when I'm doing when I'm presenting this as web page content. If I have to do a big chunk of HTML, and rather than have to escape all the double quotes and any dollar signs and all this other stuff I'd have to worry about, it's a lot easier to just do the EOF method and put in a big chunk of text.
Patrick, thank you. Thank you very much. I think that might be good for the first episode, just to give people a taste and feel. Although we do have a good question from Dan S. in the chat room that I want to ask you, and that is, what's the craziest thing you've done with Perl recently?
Oh, me? Let's see. I just did, yesterday, I did a thing that interfaced with a URL shortener so that we can make a bunch of short URLs for Twit.
Yay.
So you can go to twit.to/c101 and it redirects.
That's what you do with Perl. You do useful things. Patrick Delahante, our code warrior, can you tell the folks where they can find you, your Twitter address, your website? Where should they find more about you?
On Twitter, I'm at pdelahante, and my website, animecons.com, is coded entirely in Perl, except the forums, which I didn't code, but everything other than the forums, it's all Perl.
That's awesome.
And written.
And we thank you very much. We will see you next time when we need to call on our Code Warrior.
Look forward to it.
Code Warrior. Now, Shannon, that's a lot for the first episode, I think.
I have a lot to work with.
You have a lot to work with, right? And we want to give our audience a little bit of time to flex. For many people who already have a coding background, I know this is really, really simple. Please bear with us. This is what we have to do. We always want to reach out to the people who have never coded before. There will be some people.
I'm glad we do, because a lot of times the first episode is what gets me the most excited about a language.
Exactly.
So, I really can do this. Yes, exactly. That was easy to download.
Your takeaway should be it's very easy to work with variables. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to print. Those are two very important things,
and we just gave
it to you. Done and done. Now, if you want to find out anything about anything that we talked about today, you got to go to our show page.
Yes.
There you're going to be able to find the episodes and also our GitHub, right?
That's right. We put all of our code in our GitHub, and we also separate them out by module, so you can easily find every single piece of code that we show on our episodes. And we're also on iTunes. If you use iTunes for all of your RSS feeds, for all your podcasts, definitely subscribe to us over there and share it with your friends if you think they would be interested.
That's right. And if you want to get more involved, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you've got to join our G+ group. Drop in at gplus.to/twitcoding. You're going to find a vibrant community, over 1,000 people who are at all levels of programming expertise, from the noobs to the super, super gurus. So if you've got a question, if you want to answer some questions, or if you want to show Shannon the code that you wrote that you think we should show off, that's where you go.
Definitely. And I'll be sharing my own code on the episodes as well. Of course, if you aren't on Google+ and you're like, I don't like other social networks, I want Twitter. We're also on Twitter, and we're on there pretty much constantly. Yep. So you can find me. I'm at Snubs.
And I'm at Padre SJ. Yeah. I'd say until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballister.
I'm Shannon Morse.
End of line. Do you want to do a podcast?
Do you want to make a program? Everyone programs with me. Do you want to make a program? Let it code. Let it code.
Okay.
Can that be our intro?